The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's good. Y'all go ahead and sit down. Y'all find that youngin' he's talking about, send him to my house. Amen. Amen. Preacher said, just be yourself. Sometimes folk don't realize the weight of their words. Amen. It's a pleasure being here. It's a pleasure. These 2 years have flown by. And God's been good to us. It's been good to get to know these men behind me and those that are in front of me. It's a little intimidating working with them. They all can button their jackets and things like that. And it's kind of messed with me a little bit. Convicted my heart some, not much, some. So I went ahead and submitted and I joined a gym. And y'all pray for me. So far, I've lost between $100 and $125. So, that's pretty good. My wife said, we need to do this low-carb thing. I said, where you been? That's all I know is low-carb. I'm a meat eater. Yes. All men eat meat. And those that don't, well, we'll help you identify later. You come and see us. Hey, take your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. I am thankful for the opportunity to be here. I said, Lord, what in the world? You know where I'm at. You know who they are. You know what they've heard. What in the world could I say that's going to help your people? I just believe Jesus is the answer to everything. I believe the Word of God is our cure for everything that ails us. There's no substitute. You can't fake this. There's only one way to heaven, and I'm thankful for that. I don't have to try to figure nothing out. It's all right here. I'm thankful for that. If you'll do me a favor and stand. Romans chapter 12. Look here with me, if you would, in verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice and holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we recognize our need right now. We're needy people. I ask you, O God, that you'd remove obstacles from this room, remove obstacles from our heart, and help us, Lord, to pay attention to that which you have for us, the things in our lives that you want to change. I pray that you'd do that tonight, that you'd work in our midst in a tangible way. Lord, not like any other, but in a special way. We need you. Lord, I recognize where I'm at, and I understand who I am. And Lord, if you don't do something tonight, it won't get done. It's been a good day, but you're not finished. And so we need you this hour. I ask you, God, to meet with your people, meet every need. If there be one here lost and undone without the Lord Jesus. God, touch that heart before it's eternally too late. And we'll be careful Oh, how careful we'll be to thank you for all that you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I like the book of Romans. Paul is on his third trip to Corinth, and he writes this, the sixth book he's written chronologically. And he gives us really all we need to be saved by the good grace of God, to live the life that God would have us to live. And in chapter number 11, he's dealing with some confusion about grace, mercy, the goodness of God, because just like everyone, these folk in Rome got saved by the good grace of God the same exact way that you and I, if you're here tonight, saved by the good grace of God. They got saved the same way you and I did. And they had baggage. Look at me. They had baggage the same way you and I had baggage. Well, for the Pharisee, I'll get to the outline, amen. But for the rest of us, hear what I'm saying. God saves people today the same way he saved people yesterday.
Yes, sir.
These folk were bringing in their garbage, and they had it twisted. And so many times it turned into a works salvation. It turned into a works mercy and works for grace. And that's not how God does it.
Amen.
That has nothing to do with it.
But
here in chapter number 12, we're taught, we're learned, if you will. You have to excuse the language. I'm trying to sort this thing out in my mind. I'm about half confused. I didn't preach in Spanish tonight. I had someone else, and I'm thankful for that. But my mind continuously converts to that. Does that make sense to y'all? And then there was Brother Jonathan. Brother Jonathan already told you, don't judge us on tonight. Amen. Don't judge me, amen. I'll see you in the parking lot. Amen. But we have a responsibility. I'm trying to get this thing out up in the air, I promise you. We have a responsibility, one to another. Our responsibility is brethren, one to another, to help each other. Someone asks you how you're doing. It's not because they're trying to be nosy. It's because it's their job, their responsibility. And here we see Paul teaching, and he's helping them go forward as a group of believers in Rome. But then he comes to verse number 1 of chapter number 12, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, he says, I'm begging you, because of exactly what I just laid out for you, I've got to beg you because of this. I've got to beseech you because of these things. Now look here at these things. And the Bible says, for verse number 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained what? Mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through what? Your mercy they also may obtain mercy. We're just funnels, amen? That's all we are. Outside of the grace of God and the mercy of the good God that we serve, listen, none of us would even be here tonight. Amen. It's a pretty good place to be. Because without the good grace of God, I'm going to tell you right now, you'd be in hell, in jail or out on bail. Amen. And some of you is headed that way right now. I'm not going to call anybody's name, but you know what I'm saying. And he said, because of the mercy of God, I want to remind you of something. We have a responsibility. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, these things that you've already obtained, these things that you've already seen alive in your life because of the grace of God in your life, because of that. Hey, it's resurrection day, but watch this. Hey, tomorrow is too. That's pretty good right there. Hey, man, I don't care how many people you forget on the bus. That's pretty good. You'll do good to remember that in the morning. When you go back into the world, you'll remember that in the morning. Hey, when the high is gone. Amen. You're not looking at somebody who lives on emotionalism. I live in reality. And I'm hungry right now, so I'm trying to hurry up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that what? Ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's qualifications there. God says you present your body. That's submission. That's a one-time thing. It's one time. How many times do you get saved?
Once.
Why? Because God died one time. Christ died for our sin one time. I don't even know if this is allowed, so just tell me to get back up there if I'm supposed to. Christ died one time. Done. It's over. He said, now because of that, present yourselves. How many times do you present yourself? One time. It's an action. It's when you believe the truth of what you got when you got Christ. Amen. You present yourselves. See, here's how we want to live. Now, excuse me, I'm not all eloquent, but here's how we want to live. We got the moment of salvation down. That's the most important moment in all your life. If you're here today and you can't pin down a day where you accepted Christ as your Savior, hey, today would be a good day. But we live over here. We've got this day of salvation. We got her pinned down, November 7, 1982. Not a problem for me. My problem does not exist here. My problem exists over here where it says that day that I presented myself a living sacrifice. God says, I want you. I want you now. When you've got that over there and you don't have this over here, you're waiting on a train wreck. That's why as soon as you get done here tonight, many of you will go right back into the sin that causes problems and heartache in your life. Many of us try to hang our hat on this right here, but we can never understand that right there because we never had this right here. Does that make sense to you? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Is that okay? Okay, let's just go there, would you? But then God says there's qualifications to this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living, not dead.
Amen.
Amen, right there. That's pretty good. God wants us to be alive. He lives in us. He quickens us. Now we're to die daily. Die daily. Amen. It's going to be a long evening, ain't it? Amen. Acceptable what? Unto God, not unto each other. My responsibility is to please God. My responsibility is not to please you. But my responsibility is you, and I'm your responsibility. I know that's crazy, but you better remember where Paul is when he wrote this letter. Amen. He wasn't in the church at Rome. He wrote to the church at Rome. And he said, you need to do this. You need to get this fixed. Because if you don't, you're going to wreck yourself. The same thing in Corinth. Paul is in Ephesus. And he gets word that the church in Corinth is messed up. What causes them to mess up? Their baggage. Their previous life before salvation. Then what does he do? He writes them a letter. Could you imagine that today? Let me go ahead and just write you a little letter here. Hey, I noticed this. In your life, I heard this about you. You need to fix that junk. You'd say, bro, I'm going to write you a letter, Bro Palmore. You'd say, sir, you can take that and you can keep it. Amen. Kindly. Amen. But what's he saying? We have a responsibility one to another. And he's saying, look, I'm over here in Corinth. Lord, help. We know we got a lot of work to do in Corinth. But we got a problem here in Rome. And the problem is living with the brethren. Oh, listen. We live in this day where everybody gets offended. I never seen this in all my days. Sissies. Grown men, sissies. Raising sissies.
I don't know.
What is it you don't know? Present yourself. See, I believe the ladder to spiritual success has rungs on it. Hey, man. I'm not one of them that says, I'm up here, you best get up here. And if you can't get up here, you're a wicked hot mess.
Right.
Uh-uh. God's not that way. But when you present yourself, you understand who you are because you presented yourself before the person who made you who you are. That's a one-time thing. I tell you what, it's hard to be offended. It's hard to talk snot about people. Amen. When you present yourself, I park there. Park somewhere else. They sat in my seat during soul winning. I got here 5 minutes earlier this Saturday. Amen. Amen. Look what he says. Present yourself. We have a responsibility. Now, Paul has dealt with mercy, the mercy of God in the past, last part of chapter 11. Now he deals with the life of a believer and his responsibility to live as a Christian. This is not outward. You understand this? This is an inward working that is expressed in an outward living. Amen. The rest of the chapter is written to deal with the believer and his brothers. Now, Paul teaches the principle of reaping and sowing right here. Christianity is this. You get out what you put in. And if you got it mixed up any other way, you're mixed up. It's about this. It's about accepting the Lord as our Savior. It's about understanding we got to present ourselves. On top of that, it's about falling, getting up, falling, getting up, falling, getting up, falling, getting up. And that happens, Brother Adams, until we get to heaven. Our goal is just not to fall as much. Present yourselves. One time. That's all it takes. You've got it in your... How many of y'all sang these hymns? How many of y'all sung in, out of the hymn book tonight? Hey, man, you're real honest people. How many of you were thinking about something else when you were singing? Keep the honesty coming. Hey, amen. Hey, you college youngins better know. I know you already. Why is that? Because we get used to this. We get used, oh, man, we got the hymns. We know our music's right. Hey, man, we know we got the dress. We know we got that right. Hey, there'll be 150 people here Saturday because we know that's right. And the buses will be on fire. Not literally, but they'll be on fire. Yeah. Hopefully, they won't be on fire literally, but they'll be on fire for God. We know we got all this say right. So we come in here and then we just coast. And we just go, okay. All right. That's okay. Yeah, okay. It's time for the offering. Yeah, I got it. Right. Here's present yourself. Present yourself one time. It's what? It's when you get a hold of the truth of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God gets a hold of you and you just do it without thinking. Not for the wrong motive. You remember when God was dealing with your heart, and He's probably still dealing with some, especially the younger crowd, I understand that, but when God was dealing with your heart about the fact that you need to tithe, just go like this because you wasn't born saved. You had to understand that. And then once you were saved and you knew you were supposed to tithe, you just automatic. Nobody had to reteach you that thing. That's presenting yourself. It's when you get a hold of a truth and a truth gets a hold of you and it just continues to work in your life. Does that make sense to you? Well, we don't go soul winning because it's what we're supposed to do. We go soul winning because it's right to do and that truth got a hold of us. That just messed a lot of you up. And we're down to 45 come Saturday. It's okay. Hey, we run the buses because the Bible says it's right to do, not because it's what we're supposed to do. I should have said that in English. I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. See, it's typical, right? It's typical. Of the teachings of the epistles that belief is followed by behavior. Is it not? Is it not? It's not because of behavior. Behavior changes because of the doctrine, because of the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. It's a wicked mess in here tonight, amen. If we want God to bless our lives, we have to allow biblical truths. That's what it's talking about here, to change our lives. Amen. Listen, we're not talking about shallow hollering either. Amen. Look with me at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, we know what the Bible says, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Is profitable. That means I can gain from it. Amen. It is profitable. But many right now you're done. You know the verse and you're already done. But listen to it. All Scripture, that's Genesis to Revelation, is given by inspiration of God and is what? Is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine teaches us what is right. Not because we are right, but because it is right. Then look what it says, for reproof. What is that? Tells me what's what? Wrong. Then for correction, what is that? Tells me how to get what's wrong? Right. Then what does it say here? For instruction in righteousness tells me how to keep those things right in my life for a while. Amen. When we present ourselves, it's because we've understood the Spirit of God has shown us the teachings of the Word of God. Yeah. Nothing else. I love partners. Amen. I love my wife. Amen. I love her pretty good. I think so. But I do love her pretty good. She's a good one. Amen. A good thing. You know what it's saying? A good thing. I love my wife. She's a good partner. We go together. We went outdoors together. We go visit together. But she doesn't go because I have to go. And I don't go because she has to go. We go because the Bible has taught us to go. Does that make sense to you? It's all part of presenting ourselves. So as Christians, God's called us living sacrifices. Why? Because there's no more dead sacrifice. There's no more sacrifice that has to be killed. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful? I mean, that's what today is about. It's the period at the end of the gospel, is it not? I mean, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Nothing to get excited about. I know it's been a long day. I know it's been a long 5 weeks. But listen, hey, it's a pretty good day. There was a man who bore his sin in his body on the cross. Died for me. Amen. There's people that still think he's still yet to come the first time. He's already come. He's died. And then today, guess what happened? He rose. That separates us. You're talking about separation. You know how much that separates us from? Buddha. Dead. Muhammad. Dead. When the Dalai Lama dies, Dalai Lama dead. Our Lord, only one ever beat the grave. I'm done. All I got to do is learn the book, let the book learn me, present myself to Him, and it's going to be a pretty good ride. But we make it hard.
Well, I don't know about that, Brother Whitfield, and everything. I was excited. I was going to hear you preach, and then you're talking about presenting and sacrificing. I don't know about that.
Yeah. That's why you need this. Look up here. Think about all the people that have been saved over the last 5 weeks. They got this. You don't follow up on them people, they never have that. You don't follow up on them, you need that. Oh, well, there it went. And he had to say that. Number one, let's just get on with the message. That'd be okay. Number one, the meaning of being a living sacrifice. Once Christ died for our sin, He paid the price that had previously been paid for by sacrificing animals. Today, we live in the age of grace. Aren't you thankful for that? Today, we are the living. The only sacrifice that God is looking for today is a living sacrifice. Now turn with me real quick to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2, if you'll look there with me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Verse number 20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? By the faith of the Son of God, who what?
loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that a blessing? Because of that, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by what? The law, then Christ is what? Dead in vain. Now you watch this. Salvation is here. Presenting ourselves is here. Anything outside of this is frustrating the grace of God. Because this is us trying to do what we think we ought to do. This is us trying to do what we think we should do or want to do. But this is us frustrating the grace of God. You can't work your way to heaven and you can't work your way for acceptance of God. God accepted you when he saved you. There ain't nothing else to do. You understand that? And when you sit over here and you do all this, you're going to wake up one day realizing, I think it was Dr. Curtis Hudson who was laying on his deathbed, but Brother Bobby Robinson went to see him on his deathbed. And Brother Hudson was crying, and he was crying uncontrollably. Brother Bobby told the story. He said, I asked him, Curtis, what in the world's wrong? He said, I'm getting ready to go meet Jesus, and I've not done enough for him. And I'm sitting there thinking, you ain't done enough for him? Lord, help me. But that's what happens when you live over here. Look up here and look up here real good. We're not here. Young people, thank you for obeying. Niño, gracias. But listen to me and listen well. That stuff will fade. Come on, I knew he would help me with this. That stuff will fade. Disappointments will come. People will fail you. People will let you down. People will overlook you. Guess what? That keeps that from affecting you. Just present yourself now while you're young enough. Let the truth of the Word of God get a hold of you. Figure out who you are in Christ right now. Then you won't spend all this time trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? I'm not putting my boy on a fence rail for nobody to catch the wind and blow whichever way he needs to blow. No. Amen. He going to get this. Or this. Amen. 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 Sacrifice. I know what God did here. Because of what God did here, I want to be right here. And if I'll get over here, all this stuff in between, it really takes off.
Yes, sir.
Really takes off. Isn't that a blessing?
Yeah.
I can't make God do nothing. Can't do it. Tried it. Didn't work. Amen. I got a knot for it. Amen. The living. There's the sacrifice. To present our bodies. Go back there with me. Romans chapter 12. To present our bodies a living sacrifice is an act of worship. We get over here because the truth of the Word of God has changed us. And because it's changed us, there's an act of worship but followed by that. That's why you come to the altar. Uh-oh. That's why you come to the altar. You come to the altar because God said something to you and you need to get that thing right with God. And so everything dies at the altar. Everything dies at the altar. Everything begins to live at the altar. There is no in-between and there's no substitute for it. Amen right there. Now look at it with me. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable means divine. It's a divine intervention that causes us to serve God. It's because God has saved our wretched souls, then God has taught us along the way and spoken to our hearts, and then we've presented ourselves. And when we present ourselves, all the wickedness will be gone for a little while. We have to keep that going. That truth has to keep working in our hearts. But when we get over here, we've recognized before God, Lord, I've been doing this stuff all wrong. I've been doing this stuff in my power, and I don't want to live like that. I want to be used of you, and I want to be used of you where you want to use me. Does that make sense to you? You don't present yourself. Hey, I give my boy money. Not no more. I used to. I used to give him money. He called it allowance. I said, no, you're allowed to live here. I give him money, and I say, this is yourn. And he, oh, good. But you can only spend it on this or this. You can't spend it on this, 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 and this. No. God don't work that way. God gives us salvation. We come over here and present ourselves, and God says, here's what I want you to do. There's too many trying to think, ah, this is what I got to do because this is just the way the wind's blowing today. No, God doesn't work that way. Amen. We're individuals in here. I don't know if y'all recognize that or not, but the only two close to being alike is Brother Ginger and his dear friend, which is like an older version of Brother Ginger. Amen. I'm a fan of the lemons and the gingers. Amen. Not together. Amen. Just so by presenting our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, we're actually worshiping God. You can do things in day in and day out and never be in the will of God. You don't have to live a wicked, immoral life to be out of the will of God. You can do all good things and be completely out of the will of God. And I think that's what's happening today. And you're like, oh, what in the world? Watch this. We're supposed to be here, but we want to be over here and over here. And if we don't start out here, we'll never know where God wants us to go. Yeah, think about it. I mean, great day. There's 30,000 people in here called to preach right now. No ladies, thank God. There's 150, 200 soul winners in here right now. The busiest person in this church ought to be the one ordering tracts. For order and tracks, not because of everything else. He's like, I am busy. Shut up. My point is this. My point is, if you got on the bus next Saturday after being here, what would God do? If you got on the right bus next Saturday, after being right here, what would God do? Hey, what would God do in your home if you got right there? You know what God did in my marriage when I got right there? It didn't change her much, but it changed me. Hey, but it changed. There were times, I'm not that spiritual, y'all forgive me, but there were times I said, I'm done with this junk. You're like, I ain't never said it. I know that. That's why I'm looking at you. I said it. Lord, I'm done. These rascals son hard-headed. Amen. Lord, I'm done. I can't even get these youngins to act right. I don't even understand this. Lord, and you know my wife, Lord. She's got it all together, but I don't. I'm done with this. And the Lord said, hey, you remember March 2003? You remember when Dr. Thompson was preaching and I told you what I wanted you to do? Remember you came down here and you presented yourself?
Yes.
And I said, nope. And he said, you did. And I said, Lord, I know, but this thing's hard. He said, do you remember when I taught you to tithe? I said, yes, I know. He said, do you remember how hard that was? I said, oh, Lord, don't remind me. He said, but you do it. I said, I know. He said, then just shut up and keep going. And I said, okay. And so we just keep going because it's the will of God, not because it's the right thing to do. It's because it's the will of God. I am so thankful for this day. I am. This day, I am so glad for it. I'm going to be in heaven one day because of this day. But I tell you, after I see my Lord face to face, I'm going to be just as thankful for this day. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at in this whole, not your service. I don't care about your service. I want to know where you're at in your walk with God. You're not going to tell me personally, and I'm not going to try to figure you out. But I am going to tell you this, God knows. He knows right now, and you know right now. Living sacrifice or my own man? There's a lot of self-made Christians.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I grew up in the home of a lost man, married to a backslidden Christian. Hey, man, I didn't know all this stuff. I wasn't born with that Christian spoon in my mouth. I wasn't born saved like some of y'all. Amen. I know what it's like. And I know what it's like to come home and try to act like those kids at church. And as soon as I walk in, be met by the devil. I know what that's like. And because of that, it helps my senses. I smell baloney. I smell fake. I smell because my friends are. I smell because my parents do. You see, there's a meaning to being a living sacrifice, but now there's a motivation of being a living sacrifice. Look here with me, would you? Romans chapter number 8. I'm going to show you real quick what our motivation is not. What our motivation is not. In Romans chapter 8, look here with me, would you? Verse number 35. The Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, that's a question. Amen? You ought to ask yourself this question when these things come up in your life. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Shall any of these things, and then add in whatever it is you're dealing with, which probably doesn't compare to these things, but just add in your little splinter, your little stub toe, or maybe you are dealing with something of magnitude. But what's going to separate you from the love of Christ? At the end of the day, He still loves us. At the end of the day, He's still with us. At the end of the day, when these things come, it's not really anything but us. We determine the outcome of this thing. See, that's why our motivation can't be, I got to make Christ love me more. No, He loves me as much as He's ever going to love me right now. I can stop right there. Now look here with me in verse number 38. Well, we might well do 37. Ain't no sense in leaving nobody out. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through Him that loved us. That loved us. We're more than conquerors. Now you know who He's writing to. He's writing to these folks in Rome. Centurions, amen. They were there, amen. Look at me. We're better than they, we're bigger than they are, we're stronger than they are. Because of who? Because of Christ. But I guess I'm going to get upset. I didn't get to sit where I wanted to sit during soul winning. Next time somebody's in my parking spot, I'm just not even coming. I'm just going straight on through. I may try and just see what happens. I don't know. Now look here with me. For I am persuaded. What is that? I believe. I believe it. Amen. Just like I believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened? I got saved. Just like I believed that He had a purpose for my life. And I just needed to get a hold of the truth of the Word of God. Let the Word of God get a hold of me. And then present myself. Well, then I have to be persuaded. You know what keeps you from here? You're not persuaded.
Right.
Well, the Word of God says this, but.
Yeah. Help us now. Yeah.
I'm glad you asked. The Word of God comes with conditions. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Yeah, yeah. If you're not worried, if you're praying, if you're thinking on good things, oh, don't mess with my mind. Yeah, that's your biggest battle too. Amen, right there. Yeah. Oh, well, with God, nothing's impossible. Well, then why so much failure? See, what that does is that jerks a knot in your spiritual rope and explains to you you're taking all these verses out of context, and because of that, you're not persuaded about the Word of God because you take what you like and you leave the rest. That's a true... That's pretty good. I had to make sure Brother Palmore's with me back there. Y'all know how he gets sometimes. Amen. We don't owe God anything. God doesn't owe us anything. There ain't nothing I can do. The best thing I can do for God is just me be me. Right there. Because you know what? He was being him right here. I'm not going to get over that. Our motivation to serve Christ comes from our relationship and gratitude, not by our religion or guilt. When we understand what Christ has done for us, we're motivated to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him and Him alone. Here's what our motivation is not. Now, here's what our motivation is. Look with me at chapter 6. Chapter 6. Look with me at verse number 17. But God be thanked. We could just stop right there and ask when was the last time that happened. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What's he talking about? He's talking about the difference that Christ made. So as Christians, we believe that we were in a hopeless battle against sin that we're trying to fight in our own strength at this point in time. Then we get saved by the good grace of God. Because why? Because without Christ, number one, we're on our way to hell. Without Christ, number two, there's no joy in life. There's no real joy in life. So we believe that we had a debt so great that we could never pay it. But because of Christ's selfless love for us, Jesus died to pay that debt. Isn't that great? Christ's finished work on the cross of Calvary is our motivation to live a life that is pleasing to Him. That's our motivation to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, look with me at chapter 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Well, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right? Because where sin did abound, what? Grace did much more what? Abound. Right? So sin, we're up to our neck in sin. Thank God we're at the tip of our head in grace. Amen? That's a pretty good picture, unless you're a short fella, but it's still a pretty good picture. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Look at verse number 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, it's simple. This does not remedy our sin. It pays for it. This doesn't remedy our sin. But oh, how it helps. We fall, we get up. We fall again and we get up. The problem is some of us got better vision than others. And I see you fall, but I ain't going to help you get up. You see me fall, but you're not going to help me get up. Well, you understand, Brother Whitfield, we got this thing tacked down. We all good. We got this thing. Okay. Come on, you asked for it. Amen. We got this thing. Because murder's wrong, right? Brother Kent, you'd never do that, would you?
Well, I mean, yes,
sir. You would?
No.
Okay. You'd never kill anybody. God sees fit one day before you're gray to give you a wife. You'd treat her right, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
You'd stick it out, wouldn't you? Look at me.
Well.
Amen. Well, see, I'm not going to do all them things. No, you'd rob a bank, wouldn't you, Brooke Kenny? Especially on tour group. You'd knock that thing right over.
Yeah, man.
Especially Brother Butler driving, amen. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? See, and I wouldn't either, by the grace of God. I'm liable to snap, kill somebody, I don't know. No. Wow, everybody's like, whoa. But here's the problem. I don't have no trouble hating someone in my heart. I don't have no trouble gossiping. Bitterness. You know, I'm taller than you are. I'm better than you. You're from the valley. We ain't no problem doing that, right? Because we're not going to rob no one. Hopefully some of you gentlemen got enough about you, you're not going to walk out on your wife. And hopefully, some of you ladies are not going to gossip. Yeah, quiet. He talking to me?
Yeah, he's talking to you.
You young people are going to do what's right because it's what's right. See, that's where we are. We get to put a degree on sin, and then before you know it, man, we're as high as these rafters. On ourselves. And you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Go ahead. I was thinking about this the other day. Hey, bro, nobody loves me more than me. Did you know that? Now, how? Brother Jonathan, nobody loves me more than me. And nobody loves you more than you. That's a wicked mess, isn't it? But I'm supposed to love you like I love me. But you gossip and you harbor bitterness in your heart. And I'm not even going to talk about the pink shirts. But where do we get that? We get that from living here, not over here. We knock doors. Y'all know this. We knock doors, and man, there's no substitution for knocking doors. And we knock doors on the, I call them model citizens. Amen. They're the ones with them cans that say Modelo on them. They're model citizens. Amen. And we have to step over them things. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, that person would be knocking on my door. Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen. See, and that's what's going on here, is when you present yourself, listen, you remember who you were when God came by. Listen, you can't do nothing to better yourself. God took you the way you are because He wants you the way you are. You went through some stupid stuff before the Spirit of God convicted you. And you did that because the Spirit of God knew down the road He could use that in your life. Amen. Because why? Because man meant it for evil, God meant it for good. You know that.
Right. Right.
But then why didn't we all just get saved the first time we told Mama no? That would have been simple, wouldn't it? Right. I tell you, I don't like whoopings. My mom's in heaven right now. I am thankful for that, amen. I hated the whooping. That was, for y'all that don't understand, that was just this side of coma. But here's the thing. God's not going to do that no more. He convicted you of your sin. He brought you to a moment of salvation so you don't have to live there anymore. And then He wants you to grow, fall, grow, fall, grow, fall. Eliminate some of that by what? Just present yourself. It's all rocket science, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out who did what and where they went. What are they listening to? What are they talking about? I love it when folk talk about me because that means they're leaving somebody else alone. Amen. Some of y'all got to get tired of being the topic of conversation. Amen. Remember this. The grace of God is His express love to us. It's not a free pass to sin. And you're like, well, you know who you're talking to? I know who I'm talking to. I preached this earlier this morning to my wife. I got the results. This thing's finished. It's good. Amen. No. She's holding on. Y'all pray for her. After salvation, listen, we're not under the power of sin. We are free from the power of sin. And we just got to present ourselves. Now, look with me at Colossians, would you? And we're gonna roll through this. But look here with me at Colossians. And they done told me there ain't no school tomorrow, so don't go whining. Amen.
He kept my baby out, and he never did shut up.
Present yourself. The altar is open. Amen. First, Colossians chapter number 1, in verse number 21. And you, that were sometime alienated, separated from God, right? Go further than that, and enemies. In your mind by what? Wicked works. Yet now hath what? He reconciled. So because of that, look at verse number 22. In the body of His flesh through death, to present you what? Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Then He says this, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. There's a point in time where the entire population of the world heard the gospel. We've got more going on for us today than we've ever had before. And when radio came out, we got on the radio. We're going to win the world with the radio. Then TV, and we know what a hot mess people made out of the TV. Well, now we got the internet. Woo-hoo! But I'm going to tell you, there is no substitution for the shoe leather that sets in here. I just simply believe this. There's no reason for us to live outside of seeing other people saved. There's just not. Your job, your family, all of these things are just to bring God glory so that you could see people saved. That's it. But you're not going to see that until you get here. You're still going to do for yourself. You're still going to do it in your own strength. You can do all the things on our list, but you'll not have the blessing of God because you're not here. Does that make sense to you? Look with me real quick in Ephesians chapter number 2. In Ephesians chapter number 2, look with me at verse number 4, number 5. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith what? He loved us, even when we were dead in what? Sins hath what? Quickened us together with Christ. Because why? By grace ye are saved. There's only one way. If you don't have this, you cannot have that. If you got this, then you have to get to this. There's no substitutions. Look with me at 1 Peter, would you? 1 Peter, y'all there? 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look here with me, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in past times were not a people, think about that, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now go back with me to Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you've already experienced it. You've already obtained it. You've already seen what God's done. You've already seen what God's doing. You already see what God wants to do. And because of that mercy, we need to be right here. A lot of us can't go here because we don't understand what we've got. There's nobody understands. I really believe this in all my heart. There's nobody understands fully what God's done for them. But I think especially about these youngins on the bus. You'll sit in here and doze off. You'll sit in here and half of you got your grocery list made, the other half figured out what you got to do tomorrow. And you already proved that in the singing of the songs. Amen. If you had to walk back into what they walked into today, boy, wouldn't that help you? You say, well, look at, I'm on the bus. I'm on the bus 24/7. I know it. But are you here? I beseech you. I'm begging you. Because of the mercy of God, present yourself. Let's pray, Father.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.